Unlike other drugs, Substance D had, apparently, only one source. It was synthetic, not organic. Therefore, it came from a lab. It could be synthesized, and already had been in federal experiments. But the constituents were themselves derived from complex substances almost equally difficult to synthesize. Theoretically, it could be manufactured by anyone who had first the formula and second, the technological capacity to set up a factory. But in practice, the cost was out of reach. Also, those who had invented it and were making it available sold it too cheaply for effective competition. And the wide distribution suggested that even though a sole source existed, it had a diversified layout, probably a series of labs in several key areas, perhaps one near each major urban drug-using spot in North America and Europe. Why none of these had been found was a mystery, but the implication was, both publicly and no doubt under official wraps, that the SD agency, as the authorities arbitrarily termed it, had penetrated so far up into law enforcement groups, both local and national, that those who found out anything usable about its operations soon either didn't care or didn't exist. He had naturally several other leads at present besides Donna, other dealers he pressured progressively for larger quantities. But because she was his chick, or anyhow he had hopes in that direction, she was for him the easiest. Visiting her, talking to her on the phone, taking her out or having her over, that was a personal pleasure as well. It was, in a sense, the line of least resistance. If you had to spy on and report about someone, it might as well be people you'd see anyhow. That was less suspicious and less of a drag. And if you did not see them frequently before you began surveillance, you would have to eventually anyhow. It worked out the same in the end. Entering the phone booth, he did a phone thing. Ring, ring, ring. Hello, Donna said. Every payphone in the world was tapped. Or if it wasn't, some crew somewhere had just gotten around to it. The taps fed electronically onto storage reels at a central point. And about once every second day, a printout was obtained by an officer who listened to many phones without having to leave his office. He merely rang up the storage drums, and on signal, they played back, skipping all dead tape. Most calls were harmless. The officer could identify ones that weren't fairly readily. That was his skill. That was what he got paid for. Some officers were better at it than others. As he and Donna talked, therefore, no one was listening. The playback would come maybe the next day at the earliest. If they discussed anything strikingly illegal, and the monitoring officer caught it, then voice prints would be made. But all he and she had to do was keep it mild. The dialogue could still be recognizable as a dope deal. A certain governmental economy came into play here. It wasn't worth going through the hassle of voice prints and track down for routine illegal transactions. There were too many each day of the week, over too many phones. Both Donna and he knew this. How you doing? He asked. Okay. Pause in her warm, husky voice. How's your head today? Sort of in a bad space, sort of down. Pause. I was bum-tripped this AM by my boss at the shop. Donna worked behind the counter of a little perfume shop in Gateside Mall in Costa Mesa, to which she drove every morning in her MG. You know what he said? He said this customer, this old guy, gray hair, who bilked us out of 10 bucks, he said it was my fault and that I've got to make it good. It's coming out of my paycheck. So I'm out 10 bucks through no fucking, excuse me, fault of my own. Arctor said, hey, can I get anything from you? She sounded sullen now, as if she didn't want to, which was a shuck. How much do you want? I don't know. 10 of them, he said. The way they had set it up, one was 100. This was a request for 1,000, then.